of me and you. Regardless, if I am a preacher or I'm not a preacher, if he ordained it this morning, he will have his way. And you know why? Because I'm going to let him have his way. And if you do that too, we'll be a happy people this morning. Amen. Let's get right down to it. Romans 8:29. This morning, I want to speak about a subject that you people probably are familiar with it. And some of you already know. So, but you don't get the day off because you know something. I would not excuse you, even if you know my notes. Because there's something here for you. And if it's nothing for you, make a way for somebody else. That's what you're here for. It says, for whom he did foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed, to be mold, to be shaped. I left that word fashion there. I should not be there, but that was one of my notes, comments. To the image of his son, again, to become similar in that form. Yeah. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now, we're supposed to conform. There's nothing wrong with conforming. Paul says, do not conform, but be transformed. But this conforming is not as conforming. You can conform to the world, to the things of the world. Be shaped in that way. But conforming here means that you have to be fashioned, you have to be molded. And the Spirit of God will do that. Now, sometimes, people like to be shaped and formed by whoever are there, by intellect, by religion, by other things. But I want to be shaped and formed to the image that he had before the foundation of the world. Because this is what I'm getting at. Predestination by representation. That's my title. All representation from predestination. I don't care which way you want to put it. Still the same to me. So, this morning, we are going to deal with that subject. So, let us pray. Then we read a few things. Father, we thank you this morning again for allowing us to come back. Father, we thank you for health. We thank you for blessings. We thank you for even the breath that we had to come to church and worship you. Everything is you, Father. Nothing that we can claim that we have or we're special. No, it is all you, Father, through and through. And this morning, Father, have your way, Father, and I will get myself out of the way, and you take control of this service. Bless the people. Bless our brothers that are out of town. Father, bring them home safe. Father, we give you all the glory and the honor this morning. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. You can be seated. I know that I see some new faces. I'm not the pastor, and I never want this position. You can have it. I'm just filling in. So, I will do my best. I'm not a preacher. I don't consider myself a preacher. But, I'm doing whatever he predestined me to be. That's all I can do. And that's what I'm here this morning. And I'm here to serve you and to serve the body. And I'm not hoping that you get something. I already prayed you get something. Amen. Let us read a couple of statement from Brother Branham. I'm going to quote him and then we can get on with the service. Image of Christ. We just said we shape and mold to the image of Christ, right? What does that mean? I believe that being in an image of Christ make you a Christian. Make you a Christian is not just professing to be or going to church. That's good. Carry your Bible, get your cross, get your belt buckle, whatever. But that don't make you. But if you're a Christian, you do those things. It is not what we do. That's what I'm saying, outwardly. See? It's what happened inwardly. Okay? That makes us what we are. Then, therefore, if he is our image, he says, and we are in his likeness. Now, that's two different things. An image is like a copy, right? A picture. You know, it's a picture of you in heaven somewhere. It's a representation. That's where we're going with this. See, my hand is right here, and I see the shadow. But that shadow is the image of my hand. It's not the hand, but it's the image of my hands. But I know what it looks like, kind of. It's fuzzy. You know, I cannot see it clearly, like the Bible said, Paul says. We don't see clearly right now through the glass. It's kind of grayish. But I can tell more or less that the closer it gets, the more I know it's what it was to begin with, the hand. See? But that's a copy. And you have an image in heaven. You have a representation in heaven. And that representation is casting a shadow. And you are the shadow of yourself. We're going to get there sooner or later. But in the meantime, we are shaped, you know, and formed to the image of who? Of Christ. That means that Christ has two legs. Because this is the image. I can see the image. Yo, I see two legs. I see two hands. So from before the foundation of the world, I will say that God is a man. Why? Because I see the image. See? Christ. You know, the Bible said, the Father and I are what? One. See? And Thomas said, but show us the Father and that should be enough for me. I said, hey, wait a minute. So long I've been with you and you don't recognize? Now that body, it was a representation of something else in heaven. See? And that representation only, you know, physically, you know, I can see brother and I can see him, but that's physically. I don't know who you are, but I know, okay, that's Brother Dodge. But if I really want to know Brother Dodge, I get to acquainted with Brother Dodge. See? The likeness. Into his likeness. God is holy. You know? God is perfect. God is all these attributes. That's an attribute. But I don't know it yet. But as soon as I start dealing, I'm going to see that he's made out of the likeness of God. There's a little print inside there that, you know, has the attributes of God. That's inwardly. Now remember, a Christian is one that is done is inwardly. Not outwardly. You can look like a Christian. You can act like a Christian. You can act like a message believer. And that don't mean you are. See, what we're looking is at an image, not an imitation. There's a lot of imitations out there. There's a lot of churches, and there's a lot of imitation. But there's just one image this morning. There's only one likeness this morning. And that is him. Because in the beginning was God. You know, and if you came out of God, then return back to him. Amen? And he is the only eternal life that we know. So if you have eternal life, you had it. If you came out of him. If you are shaping and being molded to that image, then you know that something is happening. Let's continue reading. Then therefore, if he is our image, and we are in his likeness, he's a model. So if we're going to act, let's act like who? Like him. Just like likeness, just like him. But you cannot do that on yourself. You know, something supernatural has to happen in your life. I try, I fail until I needed something greater than me to make me kind of change and live that kind of life. You cannot do it. You can try and you can fail until you get sick and tired of failing. I have to get rid of this. I got to get done. You know, you cannot do it. Now, there are some people out there that can imitate. Satan can imitate anything. See? And members of his body, we should be image like him. Likened to his likeness. If I had the spirit of Beethoven, I'd do better than Kenny. I sure do, yeah. But I don't have that spirit. But if I had the spirit of Dellinger, I would have guns and shoot and rob banks. You know, if I had the spirit of something, that's what I will do. But this morning I have one spirit, and there's only one spirit that I want, and that is the spirit of Christ. So I have been shaped and molded in his image. Plus, you will see his likeness. Who he was, he's a model. He says, then our life should reflect who? When you get closer and closer to Christ, you start reflecting his likeness. You look like, you know, Brother Branham, I'm sorry we talk so much about the prophet. These people, this week I talked to about 3 or 4 people. And the only difference between someone that believes something else out there and us is that we believe that God sent a prophet and a message. They believe that you can look to all these intellectual people out there, Joel Osteen, and nothing wrong with Joel Osteen if you like to listen at him. I'm not criticizing. I said there's a lot of that you can look and search and research. There's a lot of good people. A lot of good preachers came through the 7-8 churches. See? But I'm going to reach you something, because that is not what I'm looking to. You know? I'm looking toward something else. Let's read. Then our lives should reflect the image of Christ, not in our joining church. It's good anyway. Or in our packing crucifix. You know, that's not the evidence that you are a Christian. It's good to do, but that's not the evidence to be a Christian. To be a Christian is to be like Jesus. And you cannot do all that on yourself. You have to have the Spirit of God to mold you and shape you to that image. Packing crucifix emotions, but it should be in living presence of the living God that reflects through a life. Now, you know what a Christian is now. A Christian is that we reflect the presence of God in their lives. Let's read the next one. Just trying to set a foundation so I can just lean, whatever. You know what I mean. Okay, next one. That's why the rapture, the bride, the wise virgin, the call out, the foreordained, predestined, foreordained, elected, justified, glorified. God knew before the foundation of the world who would be saved and who would not be saved. He knows that. I don't. By predestination, by foreknowledge, he saw every member, put every name in the Lamb book of life before the church even began. You know, Esau, I hate it before that we even were born. Because God is perfect and he knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows the beginning from the end. See? And that makes him all omniscient, you know, and sufficient. And there's nothing that surprises God. You know, I was talking to this, you know, this week, and this is one of the questions they asked me. He says, ask me why God plays favoritism. So what are you talking about? Well, you know, what happened to Cain? So what happened to Cain? Why did God didn't accept his sacrifice? I said, God is God, and God can do whatever he wants. Who is me to be a referee? But anyway, you ask me a question, and I'm going to give you an answer. So, God don't play favoritism. God already knew before the foundation of the world who is going to do what, who is saved and who is not saved. And according to that, you know, God knows who is going to receive him and who is not going to receive him. God already knows who is his sons and daughters and who is not. Who are the God knows the vessels of honor and dishonor. You and I, they need to make sure that our election and our calling is right. Well, he already knows. So, I told him God already knew about Esau. God already knew about Cain. They're going to reject, you know, the word. They were given an opportunity. But God knew the answer. Nevertheless, they had the right to choose. God gave him that. God cannot take that away, even if he knows. He still got to give him the right to choose him or whatever they want. So she said, but that's not fair. I said, I'm not here to tell you who is fair or not. I'm not a referee. Now, you want to go? Go ahead. Go and see God and tell him that that's not fair. You know what they want to do that? Because they saying out there, we all going to make it. I don't care if I'm Buddha, Confucius, Muhammad, whatever, you know, Christians. You know, we all going to make it. That's a good doctrine. If God had no favoritism, Cain was just as good as Abel. Because they're only looking at the sacrifice. Yeah, he went to church. He offered his best. That's all he knew. But God is not fair. Why did he reject it? Well, he rejected it because just like a children, if my child do something wrong, I will say that was wrong. But when, nevertheless, this is what's right. I'm going to give you a choice because you made the wrong one, but that's fine. That's how we learn. We learn about making mistakes. See, Jesus didn't make any mistakes. That's the problem. He suffered. And by obedience, he learned. But he didn't make any mistake. You and I are different. We made mistakes. That's how we learn. So if a child makes a mistake, and you're going to show him the right way. So Cain, all right, thank you for coming to church. I know you love God. I know you want to be good. You didn't come to church to be bad. I know you. Hey, boy, but I accepted your brother because this reason. But if you do and imitate what he do, I have a little place for you. We have a little place in the church for you. That's not my choice. That is God's choice. Cain was not the son of Adam. But he said, I'll let you have a place. You know, among my sons, but you will not be, you know. You will not make the rapture, but you will have eternal life. And some of the kids of Satan go, you will have eternal life depending on the works. That's what the Bible says. We can get in that later. But here we are. She said, well, I'm still going to pray and ask him. I said, well, you had a question. I gave you an answer. You can choose. You know, I'm not here to tell you and condemn you. That's what you want. Keep seeking. Because you will get the same answer all the time until you either get tired or you just convinced that what you got is what you got. So anyway, so here, God knew before the foundation, every member, wherever Jesus said, whatever God gave me, you know, I will not lose one. Jesus come to seek and save that which was on that book. And we already established, we haven't talked about any specific, but there's two kind of people. One that are in the book of the Lamb of God and one that are in the book of life. There's two books. Now we started in the same book, but then our name was erased and went back, in the book where it belongs, in the book of life. Once we were forgiven and we accepted life, but God knew we were going to do that. He says, Jesus come to seek and say that I was in the on that book. So, John 3:16 is for whosoever. I'm not a whosoever. I'm in that book. I am a son. So therefore, Christ and his blood were for me. He redeemed me. Why? Because my name is in that book. But if the name is, I don't know who is in that book or who is not in that book, but whoever is not in that book, they might receive salvation. Whosoever want to come, God don't want no one to perish, to have eternal life, come to the knowledge. And they can come to the knowledge and then we have salvation. And then we have down the road somewhere after the judgment day, that we have, you know, that we have eternal life. God knows that. Can you just come to my mind? Can you put John 5:9? I think it is for me, please. Thank you, guys. You guys are doing an awesome job. If you can keep up with me, no, they will. I'm slow. I'm not the faster guy in town. I mean, not the faster gun in the West. My wife is. And immediately, the man was, 5:9. Okay. I'll tell you what it is. That's not it. But I have it written because I don't trust my mind. And you should not trust yours either. Okay, give me a minute. I got to learn how to do all these things, you know. 29. Sorry, I left the 2 out. I was close, though. I'm glad I wrote it down. Don't trust your mind. Don't lean on that, your understanding. And shall come forth they that have done good unto the resurrection of what? Alive. And they that have done what? Evil unto the resurrection of judgment, damnation. Now, this is not the rapture, because I don't have to do any good. He done all the good for me. In fact, the only good one is him in me. And now I was predestined to conform to that goodness, to that likeness. What we're talking over here is those that God will give salvation, eternal life, for the deed that they had done. The good deeds. Books were opened in the day of judgment, and based on what they done, they were given eternal life. See, there's a lot of people that are Christian that are going to have to go through the tribulation. They're going to have to die because that's God's program. It's not fair. I'm not here to tell you what's fair, what's not fair. I know he's perfect. But later on, they will show up in the judgment day, and they will receive the reward. But you and I already have our reward. You and I already dying out to receive that crown of life. I don't have to wait until a judgment. You, as a bride, will not be judged. We are already being judged right here, right now. Why? I let the word of God judge me. If he don't like it, I get rid of. Or he helps me to get rid of that he don't like. Okay, let me go back to my thing. He says, Jesus come to seek what was lost. He bought the book of redemption. He bought it with him. It was lost, and he redeemed us. And all the name that was in that book was redeemed when he redeemed us. One more, or two more, and then we can. The Bible says there are five offices in church. Not only the bride, but individuals, you and me. And they are ordained, preordained, before the foundation of the world, of God, and put it in church. Office holders also. It says, first, apostles, prophets, teachers, evangelists, pastors. They are God foreordained. So that means there must be some out there that are not foreordained. But that's not my worry. I have to worry about me. I don't want to worry about everybody else. My predestination, by foreknowledge, he saw it, placed it in the church for every age. And in the local church, that makes a point, because if he predestined in every age, that means whatever he predestined for that age, it won't work for this age. Because that age was an intellectual age. And there were great people that came out of that age. But this is another age. And this is another ministry. He says, and in the local church, there's 9 spiritual gifts that operates in the entire body. Speaking with tongue, interpretations of tongue, and all that different work of the Lord, the gift of prophecy. Now, there's difference between prophets and gift of prophecy. Gift of prophecy can be on one than the other. Then it still has to be judged before the judge, before the church can receive it. But not the prophets of the Old Testament. He was born a prophet. He always was a prophet. He has the word of God. And after he's dead, he's still a prophet. And we know that. And we're going to see all this in a minute. Did that bother you? Well, it bothers the people that I was talking to this week. I don't know why. And I'm not going to make a judgment that they are serpent seed. I'm not here to decide that. It's mercy time. It's not judgment time. Maybe the Lord will do something. I pray that the Lord will open their eyes sooner or later. Sooner than later. But I'm not here to judge who is and who isn't. I give them the word. The word take care of that stuff. I don't have to do that. Now, on the platform, that's the last one in this series, I guess, when the Holy Spirit is speaking. So who is speaking this morning? If I'm yield to God, who's speaking this morning? Oh, it sounds like my voice. It looks like my ugly face. But who's speaking? You know, I'm dark, tall, and handsome. And I tell the people at the coffee shop, I want my coffee like me. Tall. They have a tall cup. Dark. I don't want no milk. And I went handsome, and she said, well, I can do the first two. I don't know about the last one. I said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of the last one. Anyway. So, now, the Holy Spirit is speaking. Now, you take it, whatever you want to take it. That's what he said. And he's speaking through mortal lips. He always does. I believe these are ministers behind me. No, the one in my brother Brown, the only one. Let's not even go there. He says, and brethren, you never preach a sermon in your life. I told you I'm not a preacher and I don't preach sermons. I had never preached a sermon in my life. And if you did, then you're wrong. I'm going to show you why. He says, and brethren, you never preach a sermon in your life. The Holy Spirit is to preach through you a sermon. And that is my gift. Get out of the way so the Spirit can preach a sermon. And if that happens, it will never, the word come back vain, empty. It will produce exactly that was purposed to do. But if I am not speaking to the Spirit of God, there's a lot of people there in pulpits, you know. They call themselves ministers of light. But you know, Satan got ministers of light. The difference between them and us is that our preaching produces, you know, a proof that it was him and not me. There are producers an imagination. You know, they imagine to be. But you and I is a shape and a form into his own image. And that's what I want. And if this church is doing that, if the preaching of this church is doing that, then that is the kind of ministry that I want to be under. What do I want to be under the ministry that only I can imagine to be something? You know what? That's what happened between Esau and Jacob. Jacob wanted it. He desired to be that. He wanted the birthright. And the other guy was kind of, you know, like whatever. Well, so you know what happened with that story within Esau. If you don't read it, it's in the Bible. I was talking to people this week, and sometimes I know they don't even know their Bible. And that's my problem. I start with the Bible. That's all I know. So I start in Genesis, and I end in Revelation. And they just like, I say, do you know this story? Did you ever read your Bible? And if you did, what did you read? You know, I wonder what these people are getting fed at there. I'm not a brainy, intelligent kind of a guy. In fact, probably I'm not, but the stupidest, you know. You guys are smart. I'm not. You know, God, the Spirit of God leads me. You know, I don't have to read some commentary or some this and that. You know, I read a verse and I let God come. And then he shows me another one. And then I start meditating and having fun and suddenly another one. And then, ooh, and then I keep going. This is not something that I just found in a book. And I'm talking to these people. I say, do you ever read your Bible? Did they read your Bible? Did they know what is it? Well, no. Let's ever read it then. So one told me this week, he says, yeah, you know what the problem is? That you're quoting all this scripture from Genesis to Revelation out of context. I said, what do you mean? Well, I believe that the word is right, but you are not. I said, but that's fine. That's fine. I don't claim to know everything. In fact, I know what I know, and it's a lot of stuff that I don't know. So what are you talking about? Well, you know, you had to find out what was the background when that verse was given 2,000 years ago. What was the going on? What was the situation? And why was spoken? And why they were doing? And why? Then you can decide. I said, that's too much work for me. I just let the Spirit tell me what it is and what it's not. Yeah, but that's a problem, you know. I said, well, that's a problem for you. But it's not a problem for me. See, for me, I let the Spirit of God show me and lead me. Why people are so afraid of the Holy Ghost? Why people are so afraid to get hold to Christ and yield their life and, you know, have trust and confidence in the Holy Ghost? What's the problem? Are they afraid? Yes, they are afraid of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because they got to be in control. I used to be that way one time. I wanted to be in control. You know? But not no more. I just jump in the pool. Either drown or swim. And that's all it is. So I went from one end to the Bible to another. And he said, that's out of context. Because you reading a scripture in Genesis and another over there. And you don't, I mean, that's 4,000, 6,000 years. I said, okay. Well, do you believe the Old Testament? Yes. Okay, so you believe that was the, you know, that was the type, that was the shadow of what is to come. He had to agree with that on me because that's what Paul says. He said, yes. Okay, but, oh, here we go, the but. Here always the but. Forget what I just said. I got something new for you. Okay, but what? Well, you know, not everything in the Old Testament is a shadow and type. Oh, no. So who is going to decide what it is and what it's not? You? You're going to do your research and you're going to tell me what it is and what it's not? I just better rely on the Holy Ghost. I got a better chance to know than just relying on you. And all that stuff that you are looking at there. That I don't know where that's going to lead them, but I'm not going to tell them. Well, why is people so afraid that God will come and shape you? God loves you. He don't want to destroy you. I mean, the love of God, I mean, constrains us to do those things. The problem is that they might have the Holy Ghost, because I'm not going to condemn that they don't. They might have the Holy Ghost. They just don't rely on the Holy Ghost. All they have to do is just kind of switch their attitude. That's it. Some of them don't have it. They need to have it. I'm not here to decide who has and who hasn't. If they tell me they have it, I said, okay, fine. So, what is the fruit? You know what the fruit is? I'm a fruit inspector. That's all I am. So, if you said that God is love, then I want to look for the fruits in your life. If the Bible said God is displeased with this and that and this, and then you should not do that. Because the fruit is the product of the word that is in you. That's all it is. So you said, I don't lie. How many lied this week? No, not to tell. That's all right. We have an advocate. We make mistakes. Do not commit adultery. Do not lie. Do not covet. Break one of those commandments and you break them all, said Jesus. So where are you going to stand? You know, you cannot do them all. You know you're going to fall. As a human being, we're going to fall. Right. See, I better read this here because time just don't wait for nobody. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak. The Holy Spirit does the speaking. Oh, we might write out something and read it. I did that. I wrote something down. But he said, that isn't preaching. That don't mean that I'm not preaching, but that isn't preaching. That's all we got. A nice, you know, that's the worst thing. I'm a bad writer. I don't even know how to write. Anyway, I'm just learning how to put this thing together. I prefer just to jump out there and let the Spirit of God dictate. And I will do that in a minute after I finish with all this. That isn't preaching. Preaching is when inspiration comes. I like to preach by inspiration. But I got to have a foundation to start. I got to study and be approved. You know, they're going to throw that at my face. Yes, I am. But once I had done what I know how to do mechanically, I turned myself to him. I said, I'm done. Now you do whatever you need to do. And sometimes not even that is what I'm going to preach about. You know? Then you wonder, that preacher, she starts in there, then he jumps at there, and then he leaves his paper and his idea. Now I can follow him. Listen, that's inspiration. If a man receives an inspiration for God, maybe it's not for you. Just wait. When he gets back to wherever he was, if that's what you like, you know, then you can follow the rest of the story. In the meantime, whatever was spoken in inspiration is for somebody else. Now, we can read something, and it just doesn't matter. I'm not advocating not to write. Brother Doug does a good job. Brother Andy do a good job. I'm not that kind of a preacher. And I'm not saying that that's bad. In fact, I wish I could do that. But when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of it and takes it out to the people. See, I cannot do that. It takes supernatural things for you to even hear from God. And I don't have it. Then something takes a hold, see? And that is the Holy Spirit. That's not your pastor preaching. That is the Holy Spirit preaching. And your pastor out to you, giving the message. Now, Brother Doug sent me this quote this morning, and I wanted to use it. So I'm going to give credit to whatever credit is due. So I threw it there. So this is a quote from your pastor. The voice is different, but it's still your pastor. Okay? Romans 8:30. More whom he predestined. See, God preordained already. Already knew you. He already predestined you. See? Predestined you. And he also what? Called. Coming back to predestination anyway, that I left it a long time ago, but I didn't really. I didn't leave predestination and representation. He also called, and whom he called, them he also what? Justified. See? And who he justified, he also what? Glorified. So he chose you, and he called you, see, to him, back to him, because you came from him, so you're going to get back to him. He said, and having called you, he gave you the right. He gave you the right to stand next to him. One of these days, we're going to reign. We're going to be next to our, you know, bridegroom. But that is a right that you didn't deserve. Not here. But that's a right that you got. To stand next to him. Are you standing next to him this morning? And then he says, oh, now, Father, glorify. You know? And you glorify. You know, Jesus said in John 17:5, you don't have it there now, you have to kind of follow me. John 17:5 says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thy own self, with the glory which I had before, what? The world was. Now, let me go to the first one that I read you, because that's what I'm going to take off from there. We're going to talk about representation for a little bit, and then we'll move on to, tonight I do the predestination. For whom? 8:29. Romans 8:29. This is just kind of, he says, for whom he did foreknew, okay, he also was predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. If you and I, if God don't do what he already promised to do, that's not going to be a firstborn. Because to have a firstborn, you have to have a secondborn. You know that? In order for him to be a firstborn, you have to be a secondborn. So God is, you know, heavens, he's just, you know, pressing, because you need to come to your position and your place as a secondborn. Okay? I don't know who's going to be the second. I'll probably be the thousand. I don't care what I be, as long as I be. You know? But let's call all of. What's wrong with second? Nothing. You say not that now, sister, but your husband was born first. That make you second. Okay. We talk about that later. That don't make you worse on anything. You know. But your husband was born first. Let's pick it up from there. So, are you thinking, huh? Yeah, because sometimes sisters want to control. They want to be first, but they were not made first. What's wrong with second? What's wrong with being the second best? That's what we are. We already had the first glorious state, you know, that God can make Jesus. What's wrong with second best? I would play second to Christ anytime. Because the bride is his helpmate. You are, sister, your husband, helpmate. Okay? So, see, that's inspiration. Now I lost my place. But anyway, beginning. Jesus was the beginning of the creation. But he was before the world was, and he was in Christ, in God. But I'm not talking about that part. In the creation, the first one that was made, it was him. and you were second. Okay? So, I know you're looking at me like, where is he going with this? Nowhere. Stop trying to make, you see, women, you do that a lot. You know, we are slow. Women are already 100 miles, you know, thinking about it. Slow down. We slow you down, huh? So, Christ was first. God is a spirit. Nobody can see spirit. Nobody, a spirit cannot walk. You don't have hands, eyes. You don't need to eat. You know, it's perfect. So God has to make himself first in the creation. So the first one was the logo. And the logo later on, John 1:1, the word was with God, the word was God, and the word became flesh in the 1:14. And that's Jesus Christ. That logos is Jesus. But this logo that God made in the beginning was a spirit, was a theophany. That's a word that is not in the Bible. That's what they told me, you know. I used the word rapture, and this guy said, see, that's the problem with you guys. I said, what? That word is not in the Bible. I said, I agree. See, and that's why I had to read and study, because you guys are putting too much stuff in there. I said, I'm not putting anything. I'm using that as an illustration. I understand you. That word is not in the Bible. Then I said, what about the Trinity? I mean, it's fair, right? I said, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. And he said, well, we are not going to agree. And I said, no, because I believe he's one and you believe he's three. So let's not even talk about it. Let's not even start. Because I know where we're going with that. I mean, it's fair. They want to believe something, but give me a reason for the rest of it. Because that's what I told him. Okay, you said you know. Bring me the scriptures. Bring me whatever you research. Let me look at it. And if I can see it, I will believe it. Well, you know, yeah, he's speaking about something that he heard from his teacher. Because he can't even do that. Probably going to some Bible studies and something. And repeating what the guy said. Anyway, help me here now. I know you're relaxing, but I can't relax. So in the beginning, the first one that was made was Christ, the Logos. God poured everything that was in him in that Logos. See, but it was a word body. Theophany means word body. Spoken. It was a celestial body. I'm going to get in trouble here, but that's all right. Do you know that the angels were in God also? I mean, if not, then they had to die. Everything that is created has an end. You know that the angels was in the mind of God too? Well, when they were made, because it wasn't nobody to worship, you know, this is what I'm thinking. God don't do anything after the facts. You know? God, you know, is here in creation. And he says, there's nobody to worship me. What do I do? This, that's after the facts. Oh, I found out I'm lacking something. What do I do about it? He's perfect. He never said, I'm lacking something. He knew what I needed to do. So he created angels to his own image. Pure spirit. They wasn't human like you and me. Later on, they were pure spirit, because God is spirit. So what happened? I said one time that Satan took 1/3 of heaven, right? And because he left his first state, he has to die. What was his first state? His place and his position, a pure spirit. He had a choice. He gave everybody choices. He says, but this is what I want. If I can have you that, you know, he wanted God throne. That's what he wanted. He rebelled. Then he left his first state and he took and left. And God said, you know, I got hell reserved for you and your angels. But that was because he left his first state. Once you leave your first state, okay, you say, well, what are you talking about? What happened to Adam? What happened to Adam when he fell? He fell from his first state. You know that if he wouldn't fall, we'd just go on perfectly. Because he never made a mistake. He could not make a mistake. He was just like God and Eve. But then he made a decision to go on to her. You know, we mixed congregation. and give her a seed so God would not destroy her. But he chose that. He was not in the transgression. He chose to do something. Why? Because he loved her. He loved her so much. You know, I'm going to say this, and I'm not disagreeing with anybody. This is what I think. God cannot, after the creation was over, 7 days, he could not create again. It's impossible. He said it was good. God would not create. That's why, sisters, you have to be born second. Because God will not create another one. Once creation is over, it's perfect. God stopped. God don't say, oh, I forgot something. Let me do something. No. He closed the creation. No more creation. Everything that was needed, it was in him. And everything was being spoken. Nothing was missing in his mind. But what happened? So, I cannot create an Eve. See, some people said that if Adam wouldn't do that, God would have destroyed that Eve because she committed adultery. For you guys that know and follow this message. Well, is that possible? Adam loved her so much that he didn't want another one. And there was not another one to be created. He knew that. So what happened? He says, you know, I know what's going to happen. And I love you and I cannot depart from you. In the beginning, he was lonely. He was so lonesome because he was missing one part of himself. I want you to follow me in this one. God created the Logos, theophany, word body. And then in Revelation 1:27, he creates a man. Not called Adam, he's called a man. And in that man, he put two spirits. The spirit of male and female. That's a theophany body. The spiritual body. Then he goes back in chapter 2, and he, out of the earth, not out of that, that's finished there. He creates who? Adam. A body made from what? From earth. Not a celestial one. A body made from earth. And what did God do next? Follow me. I got quotes for this anyway. I'm not going to speak strange fire here. Not here. No, anywhere. God reaches in the theophany and pull the male part and put it where? In Adam. I'm going to tell you why. So now Adam is going to do his thing. He's alive. He comes alive. Light comes from God. Remember? Light comes from God. He's not going to create life. He already did. It's finished. So he pulls that out of the theophany. He goes. Became a what? A living soul. Because the Spirit of God is the great living spirit. He already made it for Adam. So Adam says, I'm lonely. And God is looking at Adam. And Adam says, something missing. Yeah, it was there. It wasn't in him yet. Regardless what I hear sometimes. It was there, still in the orphanage. She was there. And he said, my God, I'm lonely and I'm craving for something. Don't you think that that is what God wants you to do and you to crave and desire him? That's what God puts in you. This is not new. The reason you came to God is because there's something in you that is missing and is craving for the God of heavens. You wouldn't came if that wasn't there. God has to put that there. So Adam is saying, I'm missing something. Yes, he was missing something because there were one body, two spirits in one house. When God made man and woman, made them one. That's the mystery. I'm telling you a mystery. Look, there's no more mystery. So here he comes. God's looking at Adam. He says, Adam, man, a man should not be alone. But I'm going to do something. I want to really, 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 really make him really desperate. See, God is wanting to make you desperate to seek him. Not just because you know you're missing something, that's good enough. But God wants to make sure that you know, that you know, that you know. And he makes you desperate. So he brought all the animals. What do you think he done that? To make an event? That wasn't an event. Or something to keep him occupied. He started looking. Male, female. Male, female. And then he started thinking, my God, and what is mine? So he kept going. And children's, offsprings. He said, but it was mine. So he started getting more depressed, Brother Andy. Oppressed. He was out by then. By the time he finished, I don't know how many animals we had. But he was, I mean, he couldn't contain himself anymore. And then God said, I'm going to do something now. See, so we got to get desperate. And you cannot do that. God will make you desperate. So, God cannot create. But out of the creation that he already made, he puts the rib out of Adam. And then he goes and reaches in the theophany and puts the female spirit, not from Adam, and put it in that one. And finally, when he opens his eye and he says, oh, I'm complete now. See, you and I were missing a rib, husbands. And wife, you were missing something. You don't know what it was, but when you met your husband, that was the end of it. And that is the mystery. You become one. You were one. If that is your rightful wife and that rightful husband, that is your helpmate, you are one in heaven, in one housing. That's how you were made. But what happened to that theophany body? Now the theophany is out there. Oh my God, I ain't got nothing. He's still alive because he's a pure life. I get back to my spirit, the angels in a minute, before we finish. But let me get this done. So, where was I? See, I start talking. Anyway, here we have the theophany. So they're going like, what? I need that. And I need that. Why do you think the theophany is so interested in your body? Because they took it from him. That's why we need to go back to that theophany body. And then he comes and pick up dirt. And then we become a glorified body. So that theophany is interesting me. Why do you think I haven't died? I could have died many times. Because there's something out there that said, I need that. Now, this is condemned. I'm not talking about that part. That spirit that came out of that theophany. Because that theophany is my representation. That's what people that don't have representation, they die and they can go nowhere. Now, Paul says, if I die, I have another house. I have a theophany. This is a house here, but I got another house. I'm going to prepare a house for you. Don't let your heart be troubled, because if you have a house out there, I'm going to get it ready. You know when Brother Doug was preaching that Jesus is going to come with the sons of God? With the theophanies to take him. Not the one, I'm not talking about when he's going to come back in a horse with the saints. You know, in the rapture. He's going to bring your theophany. That's why we are in Christ Jesus. Well, what are we doing here? We are being tested. Just like Christ was tested. And you follow me? Because this is the only place I can preach this stuff. No. And I know because you are that advanced. There's a lot of people that I don't know what they're preaching. But anyway, let's not worry about that. So, your theophany. Okay. This got to die. This was earthly made. But this isn't me. It's the real spirit of God. We're talking about the seed of God. Something that God put in you. That's what it was. Don't make it difficult. I'm not a difficult person. He took his spirit and put it in you. And the other one in you. And that is your print. That is your soul in there. And that thing is going to return back to that theophany. That theophany is crying out for what belongs to that theophany. And I want to be there. Now, the things I haven't figured out, the God is going to have to tell me. Well, we were one there. Now it's me and my wife. Are we going to go one? And did she have a theophany? Do I have a theophany? Yeah, that's right. I got to figure this out. The God that gave me that had to give me the rest of the story. Because that's what I do. So, but Paul says it's a mystery. two become one. Amen. Back to the angels. I haven't forgotten, and I'm going to close with this one. And then I'll finish tonight. Angels, they are pure spirit, and the one that retain the first state, they're immortal. They won't die. Okay? I gotta give you scriptures at least for that, right? I'm not speaking out of my, you know, whatever. Luke 20:36, I think it is. God gave me this. I don't even know what this was. But I was studying. Okay, let's read the one before. So we know what he's talking about. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world, we are worthy. Because we have a representation. We are worthy to obtain that world. Now, before this, he was talking. Let's go one more back. And Jesus answering on them. See, they said, well, trying to tempt Jesus, he says, I know a guy, you know, the Pharisees, you know, the law. It was one wife, and then the husband died, and then the second husband by the law has to bring, you know how the law says. Then she married the second and no children. The third one, no children. The seventh, no children. Now they said, okay, when that happens up there, you know, who husband she will have? Well, answering them to the children, this world, marry. That's our system. That's not God's system. And are given in marriage. See, out there, there's no marriage and given in marriage. Out there, there's no sin. Out there, there's no passions. Out there, there's no emotions. Out there, it's just a pure, you know, word body. Next one. But they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world. See, the only people that are going to be there, those are going to be accounted worthy. I'm worthy. Not by my merits. He made me worthy. And the resurrection from the dead. Neither marry. There's no giving in marriage. Adea. There's no tall, short, ugly. Everybody's going to be pretty. Hope. Huh? Being the children of the resurrection. We are the children of the resurrection. We are not waiting for the resurrection. We are. We are. I'm reading right. Children of the resurrection. You know where the resurrection is at right now? Here. Because it's the same spirit that was in Christ that lifted him from the dead, that rise him, is in you. What he will do? You're already a child of the resurrection. That's what I told you the second time on John 5:29. That's not you and me. This is you and me. Okay, next one. Oh, neither who? Well, can they die any more than we cannot die? When we get into that body, that's over. There's no more death. For they are equal to what? To angels. Well, they cannot die. If we are equal to angels and we don't die, what this is saying to me is that they don't die neither. Oh, you think I'm kind of stretching? I don't even know how to stretch. It hurts every time I stretch. It hurts my brains every time I stretch. And are the children of God. Being the children of the resurrection. That's all I got. I didn't have time to research that in the message. But I don't need to research the message. Because the message is based on the Bible. And if that's what it says, whatever I find in Brother Branham's message, he has to agree with that. Okay? God created angels, pure spirits like him. Some felt, and those are going to pay from the first state. But the rest of them cannot die just like you are, and I cannot die. Now, if I'm doing this wrong, please correct me. I'm stand for correction. So, where am I? I don't know. It doesn't matter. So, representation. And I'm going to finish right here, and I'm going to let you go. Then tonight we go through some of the exercise. That wasn't an exercise. That was not an event with Adam to forget. That was something to create a desperation in Adam. See? You know, that what happened in the mountain was not an event, guys. That was not something that we didn't have nothing else to do. We want to keep you occupied. You know what happened in the mountain? That wasn't an event. That was a move. And it was the move of God. And that's what I want. I don't want an event. I want the move of God in my church. I don't want to make this an event, something that I come and check a box. I need the move of God in my life every time I come to church. And you guys had a move. And if it was of God, it will continue moving. Because God does not stop. I'm glad that they did. You went to the mountain, and that mountain went on you. Mm-hmm. Because now nobody can take that away from you. That's a move. You know? Adam, that was not an event. That was a move. A move of God. And that's what I want in the church. Can you stand? So we are representations. I got a representation in heaven. You have one. And if you have one, you will return back to that one. In fact, it's looking for you right now. In fact, it's here. Angels are here. Because that theophany, you are his best interest. Because if you don't make it, what happened? It stays empty. And he was not created to be empty. The theophany needs to be filled. And one of these days, we are going to fill it. That house is waiting for me. That house is being prepared. So I can go back where I came from. That theophany, that word body came from God. See? And I'm going back to that theophany forever and ever. Amen. Now you need to make sure that you have a representation. You have to make sure you heard from your, not from me, from your theophany. When the seal was open, did you hear your name call? You see, the theophany was so happy. Wow, finally, I've been waiting. I need you. And I said, I need you too. And when those seals were open, my name went forward. The theophany went. And that's why when you met this message, what you met was your theophany that said, come higher. See? Now the theophany, of course, needs legs. Remember, we made the same image of the logo. So you say, well, what happened to an angel? Well, I'll finish with this. Abraham saw God and two angels. And God made a body for them, right? They stepped into that body and then what? They ate. They got hungry. Well, God can do whatever he wants. He can take two angels. Brother Branham used to have many visions and apparitions. And some of them were angels, was not actually Christ. Sometimes, yes. But he describes them as what? As a man. Because that's what God is. And that's the image they took. You know? And when you looked at him, so you won't be spooked and scared, he looks like you. What do you think Eve wasn't spooked and afraid when he saw the beast, Satan, the serpent? She looked like a what? Like a man, pretty, tall. You have a representation. Please bring him tonight. You know, I'm gonna tell you one thing. If you don't come tonight, your representation will come. Because that's his best interest is that you come. But if you don't, they will be here. They will receive what you're supposed to receive, and they will hand it to you later on, hopefully. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you. We appreciate you. Lord, we are nothing, no preachers. But we appreciate you taking the spirit and that word and bring us to us. In a practical level, so alive, Father. This is, we're not making mysteries or secrets. We're not trying to captivate the minds. No, it takes a spirit to go into the soul that I cannot reach. Because this is soul food. This is not mine. And sometimes I'm speaking, and sometimes I'm just trying to figure out what I'm speaking about. I'm not speaking to my mind either. But something in my soul, that spirit that is in me, it is in this group. And that spirit in them will give witness to my spirit that this is God. Because that is the way it works. And I want to yield, and I want to surrender to that. And I know we all feel the same way. Thank you, Father. And this afternoon, bring us back, rested. We eat and get some strength, Father, for the rest of the story that never ends. This is a story that never ends. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen. Amen. You happy? You happy that you belong to Him? Are you happy that you're going to go back to Him? So now try your best to conform, shape. He wants to shape you and mold you. Be obedient. That's all it takes, to His will. And when you get closer and closer and closer to that, what you're supposed to be, you burst out of here. Because, wait, I got to give you something. No, I'm going to leave that for another preaching. Go ahead. We want to sing something? Where is my... Oh, here you are. What are you doing? You went here, then you go there, and then you come through here. Are you trying to keep me confused? That's easy to do. You don't have to try so hard.
Amen. I have a Father. He calls me His own. He'll never...